It's been called the biggest event in Kansas City history, but are we really World Cup ready? Whether you're off the charts excited or deeply skeptical, this is your program. This hour, we're at the Plaza Library, putting the tournament's top decision makers on the spot over whether Kansas City is truly prepared for the world's most watched sporting event.
Week in Review is made possible through the generous support of Bob and Marlise Gourley, the Francis Family Foundation, through the discretionary fund of David and Janice Francis, and by viewers like you. Thank you.
Truly magnificent setting.
And here comes the team.
These players stand on the brink of history. The greatest show on earth.
The curtain rises.
The World Cup begins.
Chavez! Oh! Glorious! Beyond glorious!
It's Neymar!
Some of the sights and sounds of the World Cup. Hello, I'm Nick Haynes, and we're at the Kansas City Plaza Library tonight, pulling back the curtain, trying to look behind the scenes of what we are calling here in Kansas City the biggest event in our city's history. With us are three of the biggest players charged with making it all happen. Stacey Graves is responsible for making sure the games are safe and we don't have hordes of soccer hooligans on our hands. She's Kansas City's chief of police. Pam Kramer has been the most visible local face of the games and has borne most of the headaches. She is the head of Kansas City's World Cup committee and overseeing pretty much everything else from transportation and road closures to the massive infrastructure involved in inviting the world to Kansas City is our city manager, Mario Vasquez. And remember, he's the man who's also been charged with negotiating the deal with the Royals to bring them to Crown Center. And you found time to sleep as well, Mr. Vasquez?
Well, I don't know about finding time, but I definitely managed to get some sleep in.
All righty. We also have a fourth panelist tonight, and that is you. We'd love to hear your questions. But because we have so many people here, can we avoid doing any sermons and lectures and congressional filibusters this evening? Could we agree in advance and say, can you, if you've got a question, we'd love to hear from you. Can you ask a question in 20 seconds or less? Can we? Can we do agree on that? Okay. Jeopardy Clue versus Ken Burns documentary. How does that sound? All righty. Thank you very much. We're going to get to that in a moment. But Pam Kramer, we're the smallest city to be hosting in the United States. There's only four cities that have a quarterfinal. We are one of them. You know, as you sit here today, what's the single biggest reason why that's happening?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Thank all of you for being here. I think it's a great reflection of the interest and excitement in the region. I think that maybe because we are smaller, we recognize that the opportunity is bigger. So this is the biggest version of the biggest sporting competition ever in the world. The World Cup is always the biggest sports competition. It dwarfs the Super Bowl in terms of global viewership. It's been expanded. It's usually 32 teams. This time it will be 48. And we are the smallest host city, not only of the U.S. cities, but of all 16. So I think the regional unified effort, the last time we did anything truly regional was Union Station. And that turned out pretty remarkably, I think. And now you have Kansas and Missouri and private and public and civic all coming together, rowing in the same direction. And I think people are starting to take notice. I mean, I think there was a time when I heard, we'll never get a base camp. Well, we have four base camps. We'll never get a big team. We have three pot one teams. We're the only host city to have more than one team, which are those top ranked teams. So good things happening.
Yeah. And you mentioned four teams. No city in America has as many in such a small geographic area. We had a phone call just to get to know each other a little bit on Friday. And you said, we were lucky to get two base camps. Why do you think that happened? Why does it matter?
Part of that has to be because of the facilities that we have in Kansas City. We are the soccer capital of the United States. And that's probably one of the reasons why people pick Kansas City too, to have it be a host. We have great facilities in Kansas City, and it is a central location to the rest of the country and to the rest of the continent. And because teams are playing both here and away, it's an easy place to get around. So that's I think, one of the biggest reason.
We have the games being played at Arrowhead Stadium, which during the tournament are going to be known as Kansas City Stadium. We have the Fan Fest that's going to be taking place by the National World War I Museum there. And Stacey Graves, with all of these base camps, though, four of them, while it sounds like an amazing deal, doesn't that just strain your resources even more? Now you've got to be providing protection everywhere?
It does, but it's not anything that we can't handle. But I did want to chuckle when you said we're lucky that we got four base camps in. From a public safety perspective, that does lean into more resources, but we have done that. We have already established relationships with our regional partners in and around Kansas City. We've done other large events, nothing of this scale and scope, but we've done other large events where we've asked for outside resources to come in, and that's exactly what we're going to do.
You're bringing in a lot of police officers from around the region who are going to be coming to Kansas City. But if housing is such a problem, where are those people going to stay?
So not only are we bringing in our regional partners, but we're going further out and bringing officers in from 11 states. And a lot of those officers coming in are going to be staying at the nearby universities. So they're not taking up hotel space.
Now, we may be the smallest city, but we're projecting big numbers. Los Angeles expects 150,000 out-of-town visitors for the World Cup. And they're hosting, by the way, the U.S. team. Kansas City is projecting 650,000 visitors, more than four times as many. Pam Kramer, help us understand why that difference.
Yeah, I mean, I think the numbers of Visit KC projections. So first of all, I would say, and I've said this all along, not all at once, 650,000 people over the course of the tournament. Los Angeles, I think, measured a pretty finite area when they were doing their visitor number. We measured the metro, Kathy and her team. But I think the quarterfinal, those four base camp teams, we know from FIFA, we're starting to get some insight into the ticket data, that there are tens of thousands of people coming, not only from outside of Kansas City, but outside of the United States. So people are coming. I think the other thing, we've seen a lot of hotel information this week, but short-term rental market dynamics are in play here. I don't know if anybody here is renting out your home or you know, rental property, but I think lots of people coming in are looking at that as an alternative to a hotel. So we're still confident that we're going to have lots of folks here, and we are focused on being prepared to welcome them.
What happens if we don't get 650,000 fans, Mario Vasquez, from a city point of view?
Well, I think we're going to have the games no matter what. And so no matter what, we're going to have world-class soccer in Kansas City, and I would definitely encourage residents to come watch, too, because the games are not just for visitors, but also for us. You know, and that's the opportunity that we have is to showcase world-class athletes. I mean, as I mentioned to you the other day, you know, Lionel Messi is Patrick Mahomes times 100 in terms of world popularity. And so there is a dimension that we really cannot comprehend. And you and I, we're not from this country. So we understand the passion that that visitors and soccer fans have for the sport. If people were not to show up, I mean, like, we're going to have the games. But also, I think we're going to gain the world-class exposure no matter what. You know, I think people are going to get to see our facilities, our downtown, our skyline, our residents, our community coming together to be a host. And I think that's something that's going to stay with us for the long term.
Stacey Graves, are you planning for 650,000 fans converging on our doorstep in a few weeks?
Yes. The police department always plans for the worst and hopes, and in this situation, hoping for the best that those fans do come to Kansas City and experience our city and are welcomed and have a fun time, a fun, safe time.
Yeah. What would happen for you to say we've overshot the numbers?
Yeah, I mean, I think this goes back to what the city manager said. The tourism is important. That short-term tourism impact is important. But this is so much more than that. I just came from interviews with the Times of London, with the Daily Mail, a Netherlands newspaper, and an Argentinian television station who are all in Kansas City doing pre-tournament stories. We can't buy that kind of publicity.
Does that translate in any meaningful way, though, to more business for Kansas City? Do we have big British companies and Dutch companies saying, hey, I've seen some of those ads. We may want to open up in Kansas City.
Yeah. Well, you know, you never know. There's, you know, a butterfly flutters its wings in China, and next thing you know, there's a hurricane someplace else. So the opportunities that open up are hard to measure. Exposure, publicity, you know, six games, you know, other countries that have a base camp in Kansas City will showcase us no matter what. So I think, you cannot really put a price to that exposure. The opportunity to just get our names out there is the least that we can do.
Stay with us on this special hour-long edition of the program from the Plaza Library. Coming up, we get to your questions. But first, TV stations around the world now arriving and asking, how come Kansas City is even hosting this event? Here's British television, and get ready to cringe in a story that starts and ends with The Wizard of Oz.
In the land where Dorothy was whisked to Oz, the dream that England dares to dream might this time come true. And over this rainbow, not the Emerald City, but England's green and pleasant land. Their training camp in Kansas City is receiving its final top dressing.
I think we're ready. We've been ready for a few weeks. We're just buttoning up. To get it to where it's at now for these guys, I think they'll love it.
If you're wondering why Kansas, well, part of the explanation is facilities like this, but the other reason is geography. This is the heart of America, meaning during the tournament, the England squad will never face an exhausting transcontinental flight.
But this is where England thought they'd be based, a world-class facility on the other side of the city that has now been bagged by arch-rivals Argentina after FIFA intervened, claiming the South Americans got first pick because they're playing a fixture here. England have still got the hotel of their choice, though, chosen for its privacy and calm setting to help focus minds on the prize ahead. The whole place booked out and soon to be locked down, irking nearby residents, most of whom couldn't even name an England player.
Do you think you'll see any of the England squad?
I don't know.
Would you recognise them? Could you name any of them?
No, no, I don't follow soccer at all. I do follow the Chiefs.
Football in Kansas City means American football to most.
The internet's going to break.
Taylor Swift's presence at her fiancé Travis Kelce's Chiefs games has put them under a global spotlight. But soccer is fast becoming synonymous with this Midwestern city.
Turn, bangs this way. Play forward.
Each generation more enthusiastic. But can they name any England players?
Oh, I can name so many. Well, in the past years, they've had Ramsdale, Pickford, Jude Bellingham.
Harry Maguire.
Yeah. Who else?
Harry Kane.
And who better to sum up the mood than 11-year-old Beckham?
Good luck, but if you're going to lose anyone, let it be USA.
The local soccer team is sporting Kansas City. One of their stars is a Brit. He thinks his compatriots will like the slow pace of his adoptive home.
It's a quiet city. You get to go to certain places and have a bit more of a chilled vibe, and it's not going to be loud and busy all the time.
They say Kansas City has more fountains than any other apart from Rome. The Paris of the plains, famed for its bars and barbecue.
Half pound of brisket and a bread pudding for dessert.
Has plenty to offer both players and wags.
I think if Taylor Swift can find great things to do in Kansas City, any significant other of anyone who's playing in Kansas City will find a great place to be.
England expects and Kansas awaits. They'll need their brain, their heart, and their courage this summer. Dan Rivers, ITV News, Kansas.
Well, let's be candid. The ticket prices, if you've looked at them, are kind of eye-popping, aren't they? So are we at a stage, Pam Kramer, of saying this is an event that is for people coming here from someplace else? If you are from Kansas City and you can't afford a ticket, you're just watching from afar.
Well, I think it was really important to us. First of all, the local host committee has no involvement in ticket prices or ticket sales. But I think for us, the FIFA Fan Festival, it was really important to us that that is free to the general public. We want to make sure people can go there, can experience the World Cup, can connect with fans from around the world, can celebrate, can understand that global passion that Mario talked about. In 1994, I worked for then Sprint, now T-Mobile, and I was able to, we were a sponsor of the World Cup, and I was able to go to all 9 U.S. host cities, and I have never seen anything like it. Just being a part of the experience, even if you don't love soccer, you're not a fan, there's a chance to learn and a chance to grow in that experience at the FIFA Fan Festival.
Mario Vasquez, as our city manager, if you never attended one game, how will your life be any better because of the World Cup?
I actually have attended a game. In 1994, I went to watch my home country, Bolivia, against Germany. And I think, you know, there's something exciting to watch a competition. You know, the passion from the fans, the German fans and the Bolivian fans, even just the American fans that were there, it's hard to describe. If you don't attend a game, I think you got to be able to watch, come and see Fan Fest. You got to come out and see the various entertainment districts throughout the city that can also activate and want to have some host parties and watch parties and just come, you know, this is for us as well as our visitors. So take advantage of our city. We are ready to host visitors and our, you know, and host you as residents as well.
You know, when we had the NFL draft in Kansas City, I don't know if you recall this, there were a lot of the roads were closed and the Kansas City School District canceled all classes during that period of time. What is the advice here? I mean, do you not want people to go downtown when the Fan Fest is there?
No, I would say actually the opposite. You know, live your life. You know, we are open for business. Come do the things that you normally would do. Now, it might be a little bit busy, plan ahead, but live your life. I mean, I can't, we're not shutting down the city for this. This is what big cities do. We host big events. We are a big city. And actually, that's one of the things I want to emphasize. You asked why we were picked as a host city before, because we're so small. It's not up to us. It's up to FIFA. And other people recognize that we're capable of doing this.
Yes. Stacey Graves, the police department, I've been following the headlines ever since we got the bid, and it's been kind of amazing some of the things you've been doing in the police department. One thing that surprised me, did you know that they sent officers to Europe to go and see games there, to monitor fan behavior? It was about monitoring fan behavior, wasn't it? Not just for a vacation?
Yes, that's what it was for.
You didn't get to go, though, did you?
I didn't get to go, but I have been. I have spent some time with Scotland Police.
So tell me, what did they learn along the way?
They learned best practices, but even more so, they've built relationships with some of the folks that host international matches.
Have you found some ways of policing this tournament that you didn't think of before because you were there in Scotland and in Germany?
Yes, I will say one of the big takeaways was really learning about fan behavior. You think the tailgating for the Kansas City Chiefs is something else. The fan behavior that we've learned about is something that I would say we haven't seen in this country. It's exciting. They're passionate. Some may say they're something else, but we're excited to host them, and we are prepared for whatever comes our way, whether that be marches or just really excited folks here in our city. The Kansas City, Missouri Police Department has prepared well for what's coming.
And the Netherlands is one of those teams who does like to march to those games, hordes of them in orange shirts, and going from city centers to the stadiums, however many miles it may be. Are you prepared, Stacey Graves, to have fans marching from Union Station or Fan Fest all the way up I-70 to Arrowhead Stadium? Are you prepared for that?
We are ready for whatever comes our way, but I will tell you, just obvious safety reasons, I-70 is not a good idea. Not only is it not a good idea, it would take probably about 3.5 hours to get from the city center out to Kansas City Stadium. But even still, you know, some of those fans that have do marches in international cities, it's usually city center square to the stadium, which is usually maybe about a 40-minute walk. This would be like a 3.5 hours. It's not going to...
Okay.
But we will help fans do marches from wherever their starting place is to Fan Fest.
Pam Kramer, what has taken... Because we're trying to really peel back the onion here, get a sense of what's happening behind the scenes. What has taken longer, cost more, or proven harder than you expected in putting these games on?
Yeah, I mean, I think we always knew that transportation, I don't know that we were behind, but we certainly started from a different place. We don't have mass transit to the stadium today. We do have this state line that runs down the center of our metro. We wanted to make sure that even beyond the requirements, which is getting people from the airport to downtown and from the fan festival to the stadium, that we were also connecting people to economic activity. So creating that transit system, when you see it on paper, it looks pretty simple, but understanding, and we didn't want to impact daily service. We wanted people to be able to use the services that they use to get to work and to the grocery store and, you know, whatever they do in their daily life. So identifying the locations for those region direct sites, the park and ride locations are largely based on the amount of time it takes to turn a bus. The more buses you need, the more expensive it is. So if you can put the park and ride close to the stadium, you need fewer buses and it costs less. And most people who are parking and riding have a car. So where we put the park and ride is less important. We just know that the stadium capacity for parking will be diminished. So I would say transportation has certainly been the longest plan in the works, but I feel very good about where it is. And I would encourage everyone, one of our goals is to get people here to try public transit for the first time, or to keep using it or to try it again, because we think there is an opportunity to maybe change the way we behave as a region and change the way people think about it.
Well, cast your mind back to 2022, when Kansas City found out it was getting the World Cup, and the mayor touted the idea of connecting the airport to downtown by rail at that time. Former city manager Brian Platt proposed jump-starting work on an east-west streetcar line so it could be completed in time for the games in 2026. Why didn't that happen, and why instead, Mario Vasquez, are we now instead just leasing 200 buses that we will return after the tournament is ended?
You know, for starters, those are pretty difficult endeavors, right? I mean, to extend rail to the airport, to extend rail to Kansas City Stadium, they're expensive and difficult. But also, you got to keep in mind, you know, we have to do things that make sense for us for the long term. You know, if it doesn't make sense to do it before the World Cup, it probably doesn't make sense for us to have it after the World
Cup. You've been the city manager for a year, but you've been there for almost 30 years.
Yes.
So you must have been part of some of these conversations. So it wasn't taken that seriously?
We looked at it. We've looked at it before. I mean, one of my first jobs when I came as a planner, we looked at light rail to the airport, light rail to other places, and the economics just don't make sense. The cost per rider is significant. It doesn't make sense. It may make sense 20 years from now or 30 years from now, but not today, definitely not for a month-long event.
Tom Cramer mentioned all the buses and where the routes are going to be, and in fact, it's totally free. People going from the airport to the FIFA Fan Festival downtown. $5 to go to all these park and ride locations that will take you to the stadium and Fan Fest. Just $5 a day, everything from Oak Park Mall to Independence Center. Great. And in fact, that actually got a lot of national play. That, why, it's cheaper in Kansas City than any other city to do those things. Of course, we are in Kansas City, and people here said, oh, who's paying for that? Mario Vasquez, who is paying for that?
Well, it's a combination, I think, you know, some federal funding. We got to come, you know, and some, the state, and both states, Kansas and Missouri, have chipped in some money to help with the transportation as well and logistics. But federal funding has gone played a big part in this. And our private sector partners have also, played a part in that.
How about when you get to the games themselves, thinking about the transportation, is there going to be any parking at what was called Arrowhead Stadium, but for the purposes of this event will be called Kansas City Stadium?
Yeah, there will be some parking. It will be greatly diminished because of the overlay. So typically, the stadium, we're all familiar with the stadium complex, the security perimeter will be extended. So, think of a wider circle around Arrowhead where your ticket will be scanned the first time. Within that, there will be fan activations, hospitality, broadcast compound, workforce spaces, all sorts of operation overlay. And then there is just a ton of VIP movement that takes place in the stadium. And remember, the Royals will have 13 games during the time that we're hosting the World Cup. So, it wasn't complex enough.
Yes.
I think, making sure...
Are they going to be able to park there for a Royals game?
They are, and we will be announcing soon, I'll announce it here, that you will be able to take a bus from the FIFA Fan Festival for their games to Royal Stadium. So again, leveraging that infrastructure for $5. And we want to make sure that everybody in the world sees what a great experience it is to see the Royals play the Cardinals, which happens during this time frame.
We talked about the stadium changing as a FIFA rule. You can't have any logos. And in fact, this week, they were taking all hundreds of signs, Chiefs signs, all the sponsors from Ford and Hy-Vee and whoever else was at the Chiefs stadium, all coming down. Was that the biggest FIFA rule that you had to abide by? Or was there something else that would surprise our audience?
You know, I think FIFA really places great value, and rightly so, in their brand and the value of that trophy. It's the most famous icon in the world. So they're very protective of it. So I would say all of the brand protection policies that are in place, including the clean side at the stadium, not only for us, but educating the community. If you want to have a watch party, you can't actually use the words World Cup unless you're officially affiliated. Things like that. I think it's more of an education than it is a huge endeavor.
Stacey Graves mentioned how many officers are coming in from all those states, right? But according to the agreement with FIFA, each government, Mario Vasquez, is to assume full responsibility at its own cost for the safety and security of the competition. So who pays for that?
Well, like I said, you know, the combination of our funding, the city contributed $15 million to the project, to the event. But we also have contributions from federal government, state, local governments, and it's a combination of those funds that will pay for the time and of officers that come to the city.
Does that mean there'll be less money for pothole repair and for snow removal next year?
I think these are things that we budgeted for, so those are outside of our day-to-day expenditures.
Okay, Stacey Graves, you mentioned some of the practices that we see in other places, and we have to be mindful of. One was the marching. But alcohol plays a huge role, and, you know, America has some of the most strict alcohol laws. You have to be 21. Most other places don't have that. We're going to have a lot of young people here expecting to be drinking. We have a debate this week about whether we're going to have 23-hour drinking available in Kansas City. But what is the police department going to, how is it going to handle what could be a hordes of underage drinkers?
We want to really work on the prevention side instead of waiting until afterwards when we have to make an arrest or maybe someone gets sick or a crowd potentially gets out of whack because of alcohol. But that's something we're keeping an eye on, and like I said, working on the prevention side.
I might add to that, we are meeting with the consulates and have been for probably 6 to 9 months, certainly after the final draw when we knew which countries were coming here that really ramped up. They want their citizens to know what the laws are before they arrive. So we are preparing no before you go information, including we do have the state line, and the laws are different in some cases on both sides of the state line. So making sure people understand that before they arrive, in the same way that the State Department would put out information for us before we travel abroad. I think that's an important part of the puzzle.
We're also educating our officers on cultural awareness, any kind of like de-escalation, all kinds of different additional training as we prepare for World Cup.
We were on a forum over a year ago on another matter, and I think at that time you were talking about doing foreign language classes for officers. Did that ever happen, and did they take you up on it?
Well, we are required to have access to language lines, so we automatically do that now. You would be amazed how many officers we have on our police department and in our region, law enforcement officers, that know more than one language or actually come from a different country. So we're also leaning in on some of those officers that we have that have that experience in with languages or different countries. But we also, a lot of our officers also use an app. Like, we're well-versed. This is something that's not new to us.
Yes. Pam Kramer, I saw the Missouri Restaurant Association has an app, too, that will be used in restaurants where you have a QR code. And so any visiting fans can go to the menu, click on it, and it will translate into 28 different languages. Is that the most creative approach you've seen to try and handle cultural and language barriers, or other interesting things that have happened?
I think I'm so proud of our community. We've been working with local businesses and communities for 2 years. And again, that final draw, knowing which countries we're playing here, things like which cultures are used to tipping and which are not. What time of day do people want to eat? Algeria, who will be base camped in Lawrence, The Lawrence restaurants are really thinking about halal menus and making sure that they can accommodate fans who have dietary preferences. So I think there's so much creativity. And what I love is that people are not relying on any of us or our teams or, you know, the officials to do everything, that people are really organizing and preparing on their own.
So they're going to be really disappointed when they realize many people in Kansas City like to eat at 5:30 for dinner.
Yeah, speak for yourself.
Okay, all right, I'll speak for myself. Okay, that's fine. I am speaking for myself. Stacey Graves, one other issue in the policing front is, you know, fans showing up. They may be coming here without tickets. And we saw that in the Copa America final in Miami, and where hordes of fans without any tickets started storming the stadium.
We're going to turn now to the chaos outside Hard Rock Stadium in Miami last night before kickoff of the Copa America final. Fans without tickets stormed the stadium, some of them climbing to get in to see Argentina take on Colombia, delaying the start of the game.
Tell them Nero calls it a game!
The crush forcing children to be passed over fences for their own safety. The start time of the game pushed back nearly an hour and a half. Teams were pulled from the field as fans forcibly entered the stadium. Fans climbing walls, fences, even going through vents.
Have you been watching footage of all of that happening, and how is Kansas City responding?
We have watched all kinds of football, soccer fan footage, some of which I'm worried we're going to scare our officers away, but it's all been good. We have learned lessons from Miami and how the ticketing was there, and making sure we have the secure perimeter around, making sure that we have points in that security posture, that where tickets are checked, whether that's before you board a bus or after you're actually on scene. You know, we've also stood up a public order unit where our officers are able to respond to any kind of crowd surges.
We've seen lots of headlines, Mario Vasquez, about Kansas City opening a temporary jail, which it doesn't have right now, in time for the World Cup. It isn't open. Does that concern you, given how many people we're now expecting to be coming into Kansas City and what happens to them?
I think we've worked out some contingency plans on the jail construction, and I don't like to call it a temporary jail. It is our municipal detention facility. We need to have it in place no matter what. So we're still need to execute on that. But it does take time, I think, for us to train people, officers. We're not opening a Taco Bell. I tell people all the time, this is real work. We're dealing with real people that need real care. And so we've been very careful with that, and bringing the people on board and training them is what we're working on right now. The jail will be completed. Construction, we're going to get the keys. June 1 is just the training that is lagging.
And will it be opening at full capacity?
It will be, not for the World Cup, but it will be open eventually. I think
if we really do have hordes of people, where do those folks go then, yeah. Stacey Graves?
Well, we will rely on some of those other counties that we already have existing contracts with. Also, we can open up some of the spaces within the division stations that we have, and also work with our city folks to make sure that we accommodate anyone who tends to get themselves in a situation like that. And if I could go back for just a second, I really am joking about the fan behavior with our officers being scared. Our officers are actually very excited to welcome the world, and nothing will turn them away from being a part of a world event like this.
Can you tell all of our viewers, too, that you were joking about me eating at 5:30? Even though my wife knows that's true, would you just tell them that was a joke?
I eat lunch at 11 a.m.
Okay. Sir, we love you for coming up to be first at our microphone. We'd love to hear your question. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Elias. I spend a lot of my time these days talking with the immigrant community, and especially staff with the largest ethnic community organizations in the metro. And a lot of them are scared of coordinating with FIFA directly because they fear that their own community will be snatched up by ICE. So my only question right now is whether or not, Pam specifically, why do we not have the Human Rights Action Plan that was supposed to be released yesterday?
Okay. You want me to answer that first? Yeah. So we do have our human rights plan. We're actually just waiting to share it with our board of directors. I do want to make a distinction that the host committee is not FIFA, that we are a local nonprofit. So FIFA is the global organization. We're the organization that with the city is putting on the event here. But I do think it's a valid concern. And I think, what we're focused on is finding out what we can from the government. What we are being told is that DHS presence will focus and has focused in mega events on anti-human trafficking, on anti-counterfeiting, But for us to be as welcoming as we can, that's the message that we're trying to convey. And back to the city manager's point about, you know, if you can't go to a match, how can you participate? I think each one of us has a responsibility to show Kansas City's welcoming nature and to be friendly and to make people feel comfortable. I think we can do what we can do and certainly convey to FIFA, to the federal government, the importance of this to Kansas City and what we're hearing from the community.
Will local police be asked to assist with ICE in any way, Stacey Graves?
We have not been asked to assist with ICE in Kansas City during the World Cup.
So you're not having conversations with them?
We are not having conversations with them. Okay, that's not usually something that would occur either way. Back in January of 25, I put out a statement. I said everyone deserves police service. If someone calls in an emergency, we're there to serve you no matter what. And that being said, the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department is not authorized to enforce immigration policies. But there is a state law in the state of Missouri that if any federal officer should request, you know, emergency services from the police department, then we're obligated to act.
Hello. Someone give me 20 seconds. I have a million problems, a million questions.
Give us one of them.
Well, simply put, I'm homeless and unemployed myself. How does this World Cup bringing this to Kansas City, how does that help me get gainful employment, and how does that get me a home?
You did an excellent job. Thank you very much. Who would like to answer that question?
I can start with transportation.
You.
So, you know, when you're standing up a regional transit network, it takes people to do that, and we will hire thousands of people. We have put a stipulation in our contract that 80% of those people have to be local. And so we're in that process right now. There are job fairs happening. And part of that is providing certification and training so that after the World Cup, people have capability and certification that could lead to future employment. So I think those are the kinds, and you know, FanFest, I think, will hire workforce there. So I would say to be tuned into the city's job fairs. We're at all of those. And search for those opportunities that also have the long-term impact, right, where you earn that certification as part of the World Cup that you can take to the next job.
And I would say, you know, as it relates to housing and homelessness, this is not an issue just, you know, because of the World Cup. This is a long-standing issue for Kansas City and for a lot of cities throughout the country. We are standing up programs as we speak to try to figure out how to match up homeless individuals with housing opportunities. It is an ongoing issue. It's not just something that's caused by the World Cup. So I would not expect for the World Cup to solve all the problems, but this is definitely one that we're tackling.
But lots of headlines across the country in host cities about what are we doing with homeless during the World Cup? Are we just moving them out of sight?
I don't think we're doing anything differently in that matter. I think there are different kinds of level. You know, homelessness you experience in a lot of different ways. You might see it at camp. You see camps in a public space. And we managed one way that we see camps in private, you know, people that are trespassing, that's managed differently. So our response is the same. We respond. We expect people to respect our laws. So we're not doing anything differently.
Thank you, sir.
Just one more. Can you make the buses free again?
Okay. Can you make the buses free again?
I think the city council has made a policy decision to not make the buses free again.
Okay. We know that there's going to be a lot of law enforcement at the stadium and at the Fan Fest and at the base camps. We have questions from our own viewers who want to know what's your message to residents who are less worried about the visitors and more worried about disruptions in their own neighborhoods. Are officers being pulled from neighborhoods because everyone now is policing these strategic sites?
I will say every Kansas City, Missouri Police Department officer will be involved in either continuing basic police services, will still be in the neighborhoods, will still be responding on different types of incidents, all incidents that we normally do. And that's exactly why we bring officers out from the outside in to help us make sure that the World Cup events are safe and also allows KCPD officers to continue to police the city.
How about police response times?
So in the summer months, sometimes our police response times increase because our call load increases. But that's, again, another reason why we're bringing in outside resources to make sure that not only do we have and maintain policing services, but that also doesn't negatively affect our response time.
I'm assuming that you're not having an officer from Iowa now policing Martin City or Warnell Road. There's a local cops. They will be doing the other.
Yes.
Okay, very good.
This uniform will be policing Kansas City.
Thank you. Yes.
Hello, my name is Marion, like librarian. The immigrant, non-English speaking people of this community deserve more than a political middle ground answer about their safety and the compliance that this police will have with ICE.
What did you want to hear?
My question is, you mentioned getting to travel to Europe to monitor fan behavior, and I hope that you had a great time. My question is, in any of those countries, did the Second Amendment exist, meaning the right to bear arms? Because what we're talking about is an event happening in America where those people will be enabled and arguably encouraged to have firearms. So what is our plan to deal with that? And in combination, I would also like to say that there's a direct correlation of an increase in gun violence with increased drinking, since we'll later be talking about a 23-hour drinking policy.
We have planned for not only increased alcohol usage, making sure that we're prepared for any type of language barrier. We just want people to come to Kansas City, feel welcomed, and have a safe experience.
I might add that the FIFA Fan Festival is a secure perimeter magnetometer event. It will be a clear bag. We'll treat it like a stadium. So we want to make sure that the official activations people understand the rules of what you can and can't bring. Lots of European soccer fans celebrate with pyrotechnics, smoke bombs, and that sort of thing. Like, educating on the combination of cultures, I think, is really important. And I think from an organizer standpoint, we can do what we can do, which is the events that we're putting on. How do we provide the environment that is producing a safe and secure experience?
And people who go to the fan fest are not...
I'm in HR, and...
Okay,
that
miss,
is
you've had plenty of opportunity.
Sir, I'm Irish. You're being quite rude by interrupting.
Okay, I'm sorry. We've got plenty of other people with questions. You had more than your
None
fair share.
None of my answers happened.
Okay,
thank you.
That is registered by our viewers. Yes, sir.
I confess I'm not a sports fan. I'm not a fan of big spectacles. You've said some positive things about public transit. I don't think transit is prepared for what you have in mind. We know that it doesn't take much at all to shut down the streetcar and disrupt the entire transit system, because so many major transit routes run through the downtown area.
We have contingency plans for the streetcar in particular. So if for some reason the streetcar shuts down, there will be what we call a bus bridge, so backup buses that would run the streetcar route to provide that service. And those routes, again, they're new routes, so they're meant to not impact the system. And I'm not an engineer, but the engineers have been working on it. They've modeled the bus turn times, the capacity loads. The streetcar is actually decreasing headways, meaning the streetcar will run more often. They are adding capacity. And it's one part of the transit plan. I think the regionality and every one of those 15 bus routes connects into an existing service. Plus, there are parts of the metro, Johnson County, the Northland, that are standing up tournament time circulators. So if you can take our bus to Overland Park Convention Center, then you can get on the Johnson County link and go to Lenexa City Center, Overland Park, Leawood, some of the other communities. So it's an integrated, really, there's a lot of complexity in the planning. But our hope is that the impact to everyday life is minimal.
Stacey Graves, that's the transit disruption. I'm wondering about the disruption on our highways and major thoroughfares. We have four base camps, for instance, England being in Prairie Village. They are practicing at the facility in Swope Park. That means that they will have police protection every time they leave that site, every time they go to an airport. Are you shutting down all the streets during that period of time from Prairie Village to Swope Park? And you're on the Kansas City, Missouri side. How does that work?
We are working hand in hand with our regional partners. We've even hosted some escort trainings, several escort trainings with our motorcycle squads. But there will be some congestion. There will be some street disruptions. But, we are going to move that right along. We are used to doing escorts. We do team escorts for any type of sporting event that comes in here. That will be a little bit of a disruption, but to the less of the degree than we hope that it would cause too many problems.
In some respects, it's also different with a lot more complexity. You have all the FIFA officials. They get escorts as well. Plus, we could have heads of state from all of these countries. We could have, at the base camp with England, you could potentially have Prince William and Prince Harry are coming out to go and visit them there. Now that's a whole new complexity. We could have royal family members from some of the other nations coming in, from the the King of the Netherlands coming in for a game.
Yeah, I mean, I think those six match days, I think, is when we're most likely to see the impact. Keep in mind, there are going to be lots fewer people driving to the stadium because of the parking situation. So in theory, there could be an offset. I think, what that looks like and feels like on a match day, there is a bit of an unknown there. I think the police escort, that is a level of complexity, and the work that's being done there cross jurisdiction, just to model those movements and the time of day and who's going where when. I'm glad that Chief Graves and her partners are managing that, because it's pretty extraordinary.
Absolutely. And we have a question from you.
I own a small business in Crossroads. We talk to a lot of other small businesses. This is for Pam. We are desperate for information about who is coming, when are they coming, how long are they staying, and what are they going to do. It's been planned for 10 years now, so is your little countdown is indicating it's less than 4 weeks away. When are we going to start getting some information?
Yeah, so we shared this week. So first of all, remember the teams were not identified that are
playing. Oh, we know that.
Okay, so we shared information this week that at the FIFA Fan Festival, we know that people have registered from 116 countries. We know that of the 65,000 seats at Arrowhead, 30,000 of those have been purchased outside the United States. That is information
so
we didn't
are
have.
People arriving into Kansas City, though?
So I think part of it is we don't know yet, right? I think the data is coming in. It's a little later than we thought. We're hearing that. And remember, we control what we control. FIFA controls the tickets. They share the information when they share it with us. We're not withholding information. I think our interest is in making sure that every local business has what they need and has what we have, right? We've worked really hard to do that. But I also understand there's a lot of uncertainty. And I can't know what I don't know. I wish I could tell you exactly who's arriving on what date. The airport has added 46,000 seats in capacity, and utilization is up year over year. We're the only host city where capacity has been added, so that's encouraging to me. But we're watching it as you are, and I think the next few days, really, week over week, will be...
Is your main concern then about staffing, when you should have
the
staff there?
Our main concern, and I will say that we're a retail store, not as much affected. I talk to a lot of restaurants and bars. The thing that lives and keeps them awake at night is the NFL draft, and what a huge debacle that is. And our biggest concern is that all of our local supporters are going to stay away because of the congestion, the heads of state, the whatevers, and they're going to stay away, and the tourism is simply not going to anywhere near make up for it. Okay. And we are hearing this every single day.
I think this is a little bit different because the NFL...
Why is it different?
It's a three-day event. It was very... pretty much centered around Liberty Memorial. This is almost a month-long event in Kansas City. We have not just games, we have practices. People that come to visit and stay in Kansas City to watch their teams practice. So the visitation is different. We have several entertainment districts that are being activated at different times to accommodate for that. So there are marked differences between what we're going to experience with the World Cup as opposed to what we experienced with the NFL draft.
We also intentionally designed the FIFA Fan Festival to be closed on certain days and to be a smaller capacity than the NFL draft. So the max capacity at any one time is 25,000 people. That was intentional because we want people to go to other parts of the metro. We'll be promoting other watch parties. We'll be sending people to other areas. If you have a business and you haven't yet, we are collecting information. There's a QR code on our website. You can scan, fill out your business information so that we present that business to visitors and locals alike. But I think we are also seeing strong local engagement. I mean, people, the biggest day so far of Fan Festival is June 13th, which is before matches start, and it's because the Chainsmokers are playing. And so I think, that I would guess that's a lot of local people. So I think you're going to get both. It just depends on the day and what's happening.
Yes, sir.
Hi, can you expand a little bit on the communication plan? Where's the best place for people to go to now to find out transportation plans, bus routes, et cetera? And then also, what's going to be the best way for us to get information during the World Cup, during that 4 or 5 weeks that it's happening?
Yeah, thank you for asking that. KC2026.com, which includes transportation information, how to get transportation passes, the FIFA Fan Festival schedule, the match schedule. Really, any updates that we have will be there. We will also have a WhatsApp channel, which is a very prominent way that international travelers communicate. So if you communicate on WhatsApp, you can sign up for our emails, which lots of people have done already. And then, of course, we'll share information with local media.
Has the president's immigration crackdown impacted international participation? Either have you experienced that or do you expect it?
Thank you very much. Pam Kramer.
What we're seeing, and it's hard to tell what, I'm not sure we would have known what to expect from Algeria or Tunisia, but Ecuador and Argentina fans are traveling. They are coming. So I think it's hard to know what the impact of any one policy has been. I think we're encouraged by the visitor numbers we're seeing.
There are a lot of things you don't control. What is the one thing that keeps you up at night now thinking about what you have to prepare for the World Cup that we may not be ready for?
We're ready.
Really? All right.
If there's one thing that keeps me up at night, it's, I'm telling you, we're excited. And I feel like we heard about this 2 years ago. We've had full-time staff dedicated specifically for the preparation of World Cup. I'm ready for it to be tomorrow. We're ready to go.
Okay. Well, I want to talk a little bit about legacy before we leave, because we think about what is left after all of this. Qatar, when it promoted the 2022 World Cup, should I say, they talked about it as the greenest games ever. Los Angeles is promising a car-free Olympics in 2028. What's our legacy going to be after the final whistle blows, Pam Kramer?
Yes, there are really three ways we're thinking about legacy. The first is rising on the world stage, putting Kansas City forward. Mario talked about it, changing the way people think or just getting people to think about Kansas City. The second is confidence in our people. I mean, I think skepticism is healthy, but I think we've already proven that we can do things that are unexpected for a city of our size if we all just work together and believe that we can do it. That is it's hard to measure that, but I think if we can show that we do this and do this well, it will be transformational. And related to that is attracting new business. And then finally is the post-World Cup. Are there programs, particularly around access to soccer and growing the game in what U.S. soccer would call soccer deserts, and making sure that all kids can participate in soccer?
5 years after the World Cup leaves town, Mario Vasquez, what should Kansas Cityans be able to point to and say, that's because of this?
Well, actually, the Women's World Cup coming up in 2031. That is something that we have thrown our hats in the ring for that. And I think one of the reasons why we feel confident doing this, because we will have had the experience of hosting that event. That is the one thing we can point 5 years from now. 5 years from now, I think we're also going to see ourselves having had the experience of working together as a region. I think, like Pam said, the last time we worked as a region was Union Station. We got to break that. We got to make that more of a regular thing. We got to demonstrate to ourselves that we can work together. We can trust each other to work together.
It seems like every day right now there has to be a negative headline about the World Cup right here in Kansas City. Hotel bookings are down, or whatever it happens to be. But how do you measure success, Pam Kramer? And if it does fall short, how do we hold ourselves accountable and who do we hold accountable?
I mean, I think, I always say that I want the headline to be, how did the smallest host city become the heart of the World Cup? I think if we can come together and participate and show authentically who we are, it's one of the reasons I really don't want people to rent out their houses, because I want them here and shaking hands and welcoming people and giving directions. That will be extraordinary. I think measuring short-term tourism impact is important. And then we have studies in place over the long term to show not only are people coming this summer, do they come back next summer? Is 27 more than 25? We can take the World Cup out as an anomaly. I think those are the things that we'll be looking at.
Given how excited you are, Stacey Graves, and you want the World Cup to start tomorrow, does that mean we can expect you to be behind the bid for the Olympics in 2036 in Kansas City?
The Women's World Cup, yes.
Okay.
And going back to that question, you said, what keeps me up at night? I will tell you, just as a chief of police, with any of these large events, you know, if I've learned anything being in this position, is what we can control. We will absolutely deploy our people in the best, using best practices, and we will prepare for whatever comes our way. There is always things that are outside of our control, but our people, our police department, and those law enforcement agencies around us are ready and prepared for whatever comes our way for the appropriate and effective response.
Mario Vasquez.
You know, since we're going back to the beginning, so one, you asked me, how do I sleep at night? And the reason I sleep at night is because I have seen our staff, I've seen our, you know, the professionalism in preparing, and the preparation has gone into this. People may or may not know this, but a lot of the transportation professionals, the best, are in Kansas City. These are the folks that helped us plan this event. All throughout the last year as city manager, all I've heard is that Kansas City has been ahead of other communities in this preparation for the World Cup with respect to public safety. And that continues to be the case. That's why I sleep well at night, because I know our people are prepared.
Can you turn the tables for us one moment then, Pam Kramer? What has the media got wrong about this World Cup?
I think they're not reporting enough of how we're proving people wrong. I think, again, if I've heard it once, I've heard it 1,000 times before the teams were announced. There's no way FIFA will put a big team in Kansas City. We have the reigning world champions with the most popular player in the world starting their defense of the title in Kansas City. That doesn't happen unless something good is happening here. And I think, you know, the excitement that's coming and the way that we welcome the world can really change the way we see ourselves.
And you have been watching Kansas City Police Chief Stacey Graves, the CEO of KC 2026, Pam Kramer, and our city manager, Mario Vasquez. And I'm Nick Haynes from our partners at the Kansas City Library. Be well, keep calm, and carry on.